favorite scary movie?
Hello everyone out there in UCR land, it is time for another Uncensored Horror. Of course, as usual, I have my beautiful usual suspects, Miss Katie McCarthy. Howdy, howdy.
Hello everyone. And
I just
the Luciferious Luke.
Me as Tina looks like just me as Kev with that mullet looking thing.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other, really.
Oh, I miss Kev. How is he?
Oh, Kevy's coming back.
He might have to come out for Halloween because we have kicked off the spooky season early. Obviously, last week we had Grady Hendrix on the show, an amazing, amazing and long chat with author Grady Hendrix.
How cute is he? He is adorable.
He was a delight and very, very generous with his time. So if you haven't watched that and you love horror fiction or books that are about to become movies, please go out and check it on our channel. But we have a brand new face joining us from now on. She has graced the presence of UCR Live, and we decided to collect her as one of our souls for Uncensored Horror. Please welcome to the coven the wonderful Miss Brooke. Hello, gorgeous. How are you?
Yay! I'm good, guys. Yay! How are you going?
Good, we're great. So tell us a little bit about you and horror and all that kind of stuff. Tell us your favorites, what you hate, what you love, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, look, horror is every day should be Halloween. I'm a paranormal investigator that a lot of people would know. I collect Ouija boards. I love everything spooky and scary, and blood and slasher movies are my favorite. I love a good slasher film. It's a lot of fun. I love how every single horror movie has a full frontal titty shot. It's great.
But Brookie,
life goals.
Would you say you're a final girl, though?
A final girl? Yet to be determined.
Yeah. Yet to be determined. Who will survive this podcast? We do not know. So we talked about it briefly before, but it is the creepy season. Halloween is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Are we excited? Yeah, I mean, this show obviously loves Halloween.
Yeah, man. It's been a year. I need this. I need a good spooky season.
I think everyone just needs, like, time to relax and chill out and just go, I'm going to put something horrible on TV that's going to distract me from the horribleness of the real world, right?
What is that meme that's going around? Oh, horror fans be like, I got to sit back, relax, and watch a movie where a woman decapitates herself with a piano wire.
Quality.
Nice.
It was Hereditary, and it was a great movie. It's a
good
vibe.
Times.
It is a vibe.
It is a vibe. It is a vibe. Makes you never want to stick your head out of a car window again, but you know, that's neither here nor there, right?
Well,
we have three Australians on the panel, but as the lone American, Katie McCarthy, do you do Halloween up big style? Do
we
you
just
blow it up?
Oh, yeah. We just started putting up our decorations. So far, I have my Nightmare Before Christmas stuff out because that's the stuff the kids tolerate the best. So we've got an inflatable Oogie Boogie out in front, and we've got some Jack Skeleton on the porch. I got to get some new stuff this year, though. My stuff's getting old. I've had it for years, and, you know.
Time for a refresh, huh?
Just got to go skip through the aisles of Target with my PSL and just pick out some, you know.
And Luke, you are notoriously good at dressing up your child for Halloween, even though we're Australian. Let's go through the list of what Buffy has been in a short amount of time.
Okay, she's been Catwoman as a baby. No, she was a Pink Power Ranger as a real little baby. Then she was Catwoman, and she was like a toddler, like lounging around. And she even knew how, like, she was kind of like an Eartha Kitt Catwoman or a Julie Newmar, like, meow. So she was doing that, and then, whoa, gosh, what's she been after that? A creepy, crawly spider. We can't just call it a spider. It was creepy and crawly. And then she was Sailor Moon. I think that brings us to now.
And what is the costume this year?
Yeah.
Well, she's got a few little options. She wanted to be Adora first from like the She-Ra, original Aww. She-Ra, not that new shit. But now she's sort of like flip-flopping. She wants to be Catwoman again. And I'm like,
there's so many different Catwomen she could do. She could do, you know, Anne Hathaway Catwoman. She could
wash your mouth
out. I enjoyed Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. Thank you.
No. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Didn't say Halle Berry.
I need suggestions, actually. Comment on the video.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a big treat because this week we are going to discuss, I guess you would call it, it's like an underground cult classic now, this movie. It wasn't really big on release, but it's got a fan base that loves it. It is 2007's Trick or Treat, ladies and gentlemen. Woo-hoo! Okay, so we're going to talk about first impressions because some of us on the panel had seen it and some of us on the panel have not seen it. I'm going to start with Katie McCarthy because she has a cup. So she's going to start us off.
I love Sam. He's my friend. I love this movie so much. I mean, if y'all know me, you know I love a good campy film. And this film... it brings it all. It's got some real spooky parts. It's got a lot of camp. It's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of blood. It's really, what more could you want out of a scary movie? It's so good. And I don't understand why it took so long to get out there because people love these kind of films. And anthology movies are just huge now. People love that. And I don't know whether it was like VHS that really brought the anthology back, but man, it feels like there's a lot of them out now.
Was too ahead of its time, I think. I think in early 2000s, we were all found footage, everything. Mm-hmm. Found footage, Japanese remakes were what we were into at the time. But
yeah.
Now, Brooke, you hadn't seen this either, had you?
I hadn't seen it, no.
No. So what was your general impressions without getting too specific?
Well, funnily enough, I knew who Sam was. I knew who the little character was. But my first impression was, wow, this was a total head fuck. But I absolutely loved it. Like once it all came together, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It is one of those movies that you can put on in the background, but I think the first time you watch it, you really need to pay attention.
No, you've got to pay attention because I did actually watch it twice. I got lost the first time and I was like, holy shit, am I drunk? Like, what's going on in this movie? Probably was drunk as well. But it was just, there's so much that goes on that you really need to, like, sit back and take it in properly because I was, you know, multitasking as you do. And so I wasn't really paying attention and I was like, holy shit, what's actually going on now? Because stuff changes gears very quickly. And
Certainly does. So for those of you that have not seen Trick or Treat yet, a general warning, as we do every episode, there will be massive spoilers because we are discussing the film. So if you don't want anything ruined, please pause us, watch the film and come back.
Mm-hmm. And such a star-studded cast too, man. Like, there's a lot of
exactly.
I know they got Sookie Stackhouse.
So it comes in that really weird time for horror movies as well. 2007 was originally like filmed and ready to go, but then it wasn't released for another 2 years. It sat just on a shelf unwatched. And
but why, Steve or Katie McCarthy?
We don't know. Nothing.
It just didn't have the interest from the production studios. They just didn't want to put it out there. But then when Anna Paquin blew up. Yeah, when True Blood blew up and Anna Paquin was in it, they're like, oh, we can market this with Anna Paquin. Boom. It was also meant to be an anthology of just unconnected stories. But I think it turned out a lot better the way it is.
Definitely. So just a brief synopsis of where we are. This takes place in a small town on Halloween night with four or five, depending on how you count, intersecting stories that happen throughout the night, and stories cross over a lot. So you've got to pay attention. Now, I thought of how we're going to tackle this movie, because the movie does crisscross all the way through. And when you go back and watch it again, you see things that you didn't notice. And then you see them again the third time and the fourth time. Like, oh, my God. Like everything. Like everything. So the non-linear narrative, it can be kind of confusing, but just stick with it. So the way that we're going to tackle it is the four core stories. So the beginning is, I guess it's kind of like, if you enjoy Tales from the Crypt and that kind of vibe, you know, Freak Show, you should enjoy this.
It reminded me of like the
Campfire Tales.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. First story reminded me a bit like, you know, is it called The Burbs? What's that movie where like all weird stuff happens in like the suburban neighborhood and the like, burbs? You know, The Burbs, that's the one. Yeah. They're like digging the graves in the backyard. That's what the first story reminded me of a lot.
So before the first story, we have a little preamble of you know, the rules of Halloween, which is super cute. The little, you know, footage. But then we come to meet our first two characters, Emma and Henry, who are returning from a busy night's Halloween party. Who is Emma?
Leslie McCarthy, Bibb.
Miss Leslie Bibb. Now, Leslie was kind of a thing back in this time. She was she'd been in Ryan Murphy's show Popular. I don't know if anyone remembers that show.
It's cryogenically totally brilliant. Frozen face. No liquid nitrogen face.
I just love her so much. She was great in everything she does.
So honestly. She was in Jason great. X as the girl Adrian in Jason X, right? Got her face frozen.
Hi, Todd.
More on that later. More on that later. So, she wants to take down the Halloween decorations now because it will not get done in the morning. Henry will sit on a couch and play a PlayStation or whatever it was back in those days. So she begins to take down the Halloween decorations, and probably not the best idea in the world, right?
Because what a miserable bitch. Why don't you just go to bed?
Well, besides that, she broke a major rule.
Yeah, she blew out the jack-o'-lantern before they even entered the front gate. Big no. Mm-mm. Big no. Mm-mm.
What it deserved, hey?
No. Yes. So, 100%. Midst her taking it down, she is attacked by an unseen force. And look, she ends up learning that you don't fuck around with Halloween, right?
Love that. That's
oh god.
That should have been on all the posters, all of them.
Right.
In my top five scary movie deaths. Top five.
It's great. Like, it's a great little teaser to what's to come, right? We're like, okay, cool.
She kind of looks a little bit like Bridget Wilson Sampras, just randomly.
Your girlfriend.
I love Bridget. Bridget, if you're watching.
We love Bridget too.
Bridget's watching. I'm sure Bridget's watching. All right, so we are going to discuss the stories the way they happen, but we do meet these characters first as well. So we have the lovely Anna Paquin and her friends buying Halloween costumes the night of. Does that happen, Katie?
Yeah, banging the Snow White's tits there, though.
I know, right?
Probably for those reasons, don't do it ahead of time. But
I mean, I feel like people really take care of their like plan out their Halloween costumes and want to get it right.
It would not be that easy to get quality costumes like that the night of Halloween. I'll tell you that much.
Especially like 8 p.m. and that store is full, and there's kids and there's everything going on. It's
when you got a rack like that. Come on,
but it's very mood setting.
Well, did you see the little peeping Tom in their dressing room? Did anyone know who that was?
Touché.
Yes, I know exactly. Well, that's that was Quinn Lord, and he plays Sam in the movie. He was 5. So, yeah.
Cute. See, little,
researched.
she's part of the team now. So we have a cute little, the girls are out looking for dates. And poor Virginis Anna Paquin is basically left alone. Little Red Riding Hood left alone to fend for herself.
Because, you know, in what reality would that actually happen? Let's be real. Right.
This is where our first story is where we meet Steve Wilkins, Principal Steve Wilkins.
I love this actor.
Brilliantly played, right?
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
Dylan Baker, he sold this role. He's
creepy as fuck.
He's good at everything he does, and he plays creepy exceptionally
well.
He was actually.
No, you go.
His character, he based it on Norman Bates in Psycho, actually. Just having
it
that
feels
kind
a bit Norman Batesy, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, got a little bit of a Norman Bates vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Burbs.
We love the Burbs.
Apparently, we're going to be watching the Burbs, folks.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the Burbs. So we meet Principal Wilkins, but we also meet one of his students, Charlie, an overweight vandal who is smashing jack-o'-lanterns, again, upsetting the whole of Halloween.
What a little fat fuck. Let's just
He goes to steal, obviously. There is a please take one on Principal Wilkins' doorstep, and he is caught out. And they sit down and have a little bit of a conversation about the rules of Halloween and why it was created. And we start to get a little bit of, not even passive aggressive pumpkin carving, just aggressive, aggressive pumpkin carving, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
it's like, okay, we get it, Psycho. But this, do you know what? This kind of gives me, do you remember A Christmas Story?
Yes.
Kind of gives me those vibes, those off-kilter holiday like things where it's like, okay, because after Charlie eats the candy, he starts to a little bit. Like there is chocolate covered vomit coloured vomit going everywhere, right?
After reading about it, I'm never going to be able to look at it the same because Michael Dougherty, the director, he said that it was chocolatey mint flavor and it actually tasted really good. And I'm just like, nope.
Oh, yuck.
I can't even imagine it. They supposedly kept it warm all night so it could like really kind of flow real nicely and not chunky. It's
Look, now I feel sorry for that fat kid.
He probably enjoyed it.
I feel sorry for the fat kid.
Yeah, because his principal killed him.
Yeah,
his principal killed him.
He recycles him. Like,
and then we witness Principal Wilkins attempts to it's kind of weakened at Bernie's-ish too, to try and dispose of the body. He's digging a hole in the backyard where there's more than one body, right?
Oh, yeah.
And one's not dead. That's cool.
One's not dead. Yeah. And we do meet briefly his neighbor, Mr. Krieg, who will be coming back to us.
Is a villain, but I'm not going to spoil much more.
Yeah. Brian Cox also...
Brian Cox serving grumpy neighbor extreme, right? He's
the best.
He is going off.
More so, fun facts later.
poor even though we shouldn't feel sorry for Steve Wilkins, he's very put upon. He can't win. He's trying to get rid of this body when other students come knocking at the door. Ding dong, ding dong, and ask for his pumpkin, which they get, I assume, one of his pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
More on that gang later. But he's covered in blood. One of the kids suspects something, but you can never prove it. And then while he's trying to get rid of this body, not only are their bodies screaming, a dog to take care of, but there's also a voice from above with the dulcet tones of his son, Billy.
Daddy! Daddy!
Okay. It's right up there.
You just kill that little
kid?
Shit.
Okay, so let's take a poll right now. Ready? who's more annoying and who's the more annoying kid in horror movies? The kid from Babadook or this kid?
This kid.
Agreed.
This kid. Agreed. Although when that kid in Babadook screams for a good 2 minutes, you're like,
this
oh
is the
God,
same kid that was in Liar Liar, right?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure he's the little boy that was in Liar Liar.
Well, yeah.
Really? When was Liar Liar? This was 2007.
No, I'm looking this up, kids.
I don't think that's right. Yeah, Liar Liar wasn't 2007.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, Luke,
he was
you're
in
the
some
liar,
movie
liar.
With someone.
You're the Liar Liar. That's
look up what the kid was in. He was
I'm
in
doing
a movie.
Billy.
Like that.
Billy wants daddy to come and carve the pumpkin with him. So, poor Steve.
I love when he says, Charlie Brown's an asshole.
Charlie Brown's an asshole.
Charlie Wilkins.
It's just so, like, you can tell that, I don't know, that the writers have been parents or no parents at Halloween time. That you're like, I want to do this. You're like, in a minute. Charlie Brown is an asshole.
My favorite part is where he's burying bodies and having to go at the kid for saying asshole.
Multitasking, you know. You've got to have the morals in order.
Do as I say, not as I do. Remember. All right.
So once the backyard is sorted, we see Steve go back inside, but he sees Krieg knocking at the window, screaming, and you know. He basically ignores him to go inside to go and help young Billy.
Make caramel apples.
Yes.
He's now,
we all
horror.
We all thought
he
we
wasn't
were all
anything else, that kid?
Not no. Anything anyone would really care about.
No.
Oh.
We were all a bit concerned for Billy's safety at this point, right? He's gonna kill that kid.
Nah,
he's gonna kill that kid.
When
I first saw it,
kill their close.
I was like, oh, he might be poor little Billy might be on the way out. But oh, hi Maggie Grace. I'm not Maggie Grace, but Leslie Bibb. Same difference.
same.
But we go down to the basement and he needs help with the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to help me with the eyes.
With the eyes.
See, he recycled the packet.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, genetics, obviously they don't fall far from the tree. This movie says nature versus nurture. Well, it could be both. Because, you know.
Why not?
It seemed like there's going to be, you know, more murderous Wilkins in the future. And that's kind of the end of our first story. It's short. It's kind of short, kind of sweet. It's got that nice little mix of horror and comedy in there. But I think it's a good way to kind of start things off. From there, though, we go into what is my favorite one. My favorite is the school bus massacre story. Mm. I think it's so cool. Like,
it is awesome.
So as we said, we met these guys before. Macy, Sarah, Chip, and Schrader. So they are out collecting Halloween pumpkins for some unknown reason. Some unknown reason. We don't know yet.
Scavenger hunt for UNICEF.
Yeah. exactly. Yeah, that's what that was. It was the UNICEF.
So foolish.
They, it was very good, though. That girl, do we know who the girl who played, is it Macy?
Yeah, Macy.
The lead chick?
All over it.
Did anyone watch Dead Like Me?
I don't remember it.
I did not
watch. If you did not watch Dead Like Me, she plays Ellen Mast's little sister in Dead Like Me. It is a brilliant show. She is a brilliant actress. It's very different to the character she plays in Dead Like Me, but she was great in this as well. She's that nasty girl, like down to a T.
She's the mean girl. It's great.
Yeah, they're looking for pumpkins and they come across, you know, the motherlode when they go to pick up Rhonda. Now, beautiful, like utterly beautiful set dressing.
How amazing
there.
Is that? Yeah.
Right? We meet Rhonda, and Rhonda is, I think she's supposed to be like ADD-ish, right? On the spectrum.
I get autism vibes. As an autism person, as an autism parent, I get autism from her.
I think we have to remember. Yeah. We have to remember that this was 2007. It was not really the most woke time in the world, but I don't think it's an offensive portrayal. I think she does.
She was just meant to be awkward and developmentally
socially awkward. Yeah. So they have adopted Rhonda for the night, we find out. And we head towards the abandoned quarry. Now, Katie McCarthy, do you want to take us through why we're going to the abandoned quarry? What's going on at the abandoned quarry?
Oh, let's see. Now, there was a bus full of kids, and they were, like, as Steve said, this was not the most woke period of the 2000s, but these were troubled children. These were delayed children. They were just children that the parents did not want to deal with anymore. So a bus driver on Halloween gave them all a piece of candy, made sure their chains were nice and tight, sent them over a cliff into the quarry. And they are going there because every Halloween, supposedly, they rise from the dead.
And they have to leave the jack-o'-lanterns as tribute.
Yep.
This gave me full-on Nightmare on Elm Street vibes, right? Hardcore.
I love
like
this one.
Kids on a bus. Like, I felt like they were taking off into the desert.
Those masks were perfection. I mean,
It was very, very, unsettling. Unsettling is the word I was going to go with. It was a very unsettling moment.
I love
it. My favorite was the kid in the paper bag. Like, that one was my favorite.
Yeah, mums just couldn't even be bothered with that kid. Like, whatever. But, it does come across very, are you afraid of the dark as well, this one? I think it might be because of the age of the children, like, that are starring in this story. Mm-hmm. But it gets me in that are you afraid of the dark vibe, which is, you know, if you didn't watch Nickelodeon's Are You Afraid of the Dark when you were, and you are not an elder millennial like the rest of us, you need to, I like to say elder because I find the term geriatric millennial a bit offensive. A bit offensive. Well, I say even, elder millennial.
We're not even it's the coming. Oldest millennials. We're not.
Well, Brooke's the eldest millennial in the bunch. So she's the queen.
Okay, so she's queen millennial. I'll give it to her.
She's queen eldest millennial.
Queen so of friggin' everything.
You're the baby, Katie. You're the baby, so Am you I get to baby? Rock it. You are the baby. Yeah.
You're the bubba. Yeah.
Luke and I are the same month. So same month, same
You guys
year,
are
83.
The Marsha.
We've already established that I'm
You're Cindy. No, you're Cindy.
You're Cindy.
If you're the youngest.
I'm Marsha.
The other thing starts in there.
please just get on with the story, okay?
What are you gonna do? Hand in a mold, hand in a cast of your face, and call it barf mold? Right? If you don't love the Brady Bunch movies, but anyway, so yes, we're back to the Halloween school massacre. I digress. So Macy, Chip, and Sarah go down in an abandoned lift. You know, a perfectly operational one at that, to the quarry to take their pumpkins down. Poor Schrader and Rhonda get left behind and have to go down by themselves. Like, the imagery is amazing.
Rhonda is a babe. Look at her. She's so pretty.
Rhonda's awesome.
That's when she's going back up, isn't it?
That is. That is when she's going back up. So Schrader and Rhonda are stuck. That's not Schrader. Schrader's the
good looking one. Schrader's the hot one.
It's Chip. They are just like the loser squad of the two, obviously, and have to wait. So when they get down to the bottom, they hear all kinds of gurgly, creepy scariness, and Rhonda obviously goes to investigate and leaves Chip by himself. It's like, you stay here, okay? It's like, oh, she's so cute. I have a lot of love for her.
Yeah, so she left him the jack-o'-lanterns to protect him.
As long as the lights were stayed lit, he would be fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes down to the water when ghosts are awoken and begin to chase her. And this was very effective. I found this whole thing super, super effective especially when there's kids involved. I think it's touch and go, whether it's, you know, scary and intense or you just dull it right back to make it like goofy. And I still think this has that kind of vibe, like Halloween 4, like certain parts of like other movies that have kids starring in it, that you do actually feel genuinely like, oh, oh. And then the poor girl falls and hits her head quite hard.
I mean, I think Brooke can back me up here. Kids are terrifying.
Oh, they're horrible. They are scary.
Especially your own. Horrifying.
But as she slowly glazes out, we see the monsters remove their heads. And it's, oh, shit, isn't it? That we hear before she passes out. Ah, shit.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments. It takes you back to childhood when you know you've done something wrong. It's that, oh, fuck, what are we going to do now moment.
Yeah. Poor thing. She's crying.
She does. She's terrified. She's terrified and a great actress.
I was going to say, I actually feel like she's the most underrated character in this whole film. I think she plays it perfectly.
She does.
She does such a good job. And that last scene where she, like, leaves them,
Okay. No, it's all good. They return as Rhonda's inconsolable and she's broken, basically, and they've got to figure out how to fix her or how to get her back to, you know, somewhere normal when sounds abound from the abandoned bus in the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, total Nightmare on Elm Street vibes, right? Just down to the way the set is all done. Like, I feel like this is the Nightmare on Elm Street segment that never happened. Like, there's this abandoned bus. Good. And the abandoned children rise from the grave and thoroughly take care of our cast, basically.
Except our pal Rhonda.
Rhonda, who emerges from the shadows,
a triumphant,
unscathed,
victorious,
as her classmates are disposed of quite graphically by the sounds of it. It was a moist death.
I love scenes like that because, you know, you don't always have to see a very graphic, gory death. Like, sometimes, like, using your imagination is even better, especially when the sound effects are that good. Like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's a lot of really, like, I think everyone on this movie really brought their A game. Like, so many times, especially in this genre, when it isn't, you know, a big tentpole movie for a studio that's thrown millions upon millions of dollars at it, there's the opportunity for it to look cheap and, you know, half done. But everything here was like, look at Rhonda's house, but start like just that with all those jack-o'-lanterns set out, the whole quarry set with the bus and like, that's not like a budget artwork kind of thing. It's not a green screen, a bad green screen. It looked all like actual physical set, which is huge considering that it was not, a major movie.
Well, I thought that I read that the budget was like 1.2 on this movie. I could be very wrong, so please don't quote me, but I thought I saw that the budget for it was in the 1.2 kind of price.
Oh, no, it says 12 million, which isn't a lot.
Wow.
You know what I mean? 12 million is not a lot of money. You were. It's not a lot of money for, like, when you look at, you know, when you're looking at, like, these Marvel movies that take, you know,
$40,000.
This is a tidy film. Like, it looks good. So I guess,
Well, that scene was originally supposed to be a pumpkin patch. The quarry.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. And Rhonda was actually supposed to be a ghost that's leading them to their deaths. So Rhonda was the bad guy originally.
But I like that that this is just, you know, Sam is witnessing all of this stuff. So he just gives her a little nod. They like give her a little nod and off she goes with her cart as she, you know, she continues the spirit of Halloween because that's Sam's whole vibe. Mm-hmm. Sam's whole vibe is that he's there to make sure he's like the Santa Claus of Halloween.
Yes.
Which is cool. He's one of the trick-or-treaters at Steve Wilkins' door as well, following that group of kids. So it's, ultra cool. I love it. I think it's cool. That was my favorite part.
100% the best part.
Okay, so we're going to move on to story number three with Laurie. Not a coincidence, I'm sure.
Laurie Stuckey.
Anna Paquin, yes. Anna Paquin, who was... Now, this was X-Men times, right?
I mean, it was...
Yeah,
this was around that. Just... Yeah, this was just maybe... I'm not sure when X-Men 2 came out. She was only in the second one, wasn't she?
It was definitely before True Blood because they put it out because True Blood was so popular. So it was definitely before then.
So Anna Paquin hadn't had the renaissance. I think she was very much sidelined in those. No, she wasn't the first X-Men movie. What am I talking about? She was very much sidelined in those X-Men movies for, you know, everything had to be about Hugh Jackman for some reason.
I wonder why.
But whatever, you know, gay guy with claws. You can just come watch our show.
Yeah. I should have seen that coming. I missed it.
You should have seen that coming.
I'm embarrassed. So, I'm sorry, everyone.
That's all right. We get a very reminiscent of one of Luke's favorite chase scene moments in this scene, where we have this masked vigilante / vampire taking out this poor girl in the street. It was very much Sarah Michelle Gellar's moment, I thought, in I know you did last summer, one of Luke's favorite chase scenes in the world. He said there was no Elsa.
There was no Elsa. Sampras. I want to mention Second Bridget time. Wilson Sampras a few times during this.
Yes, obviously. Obviously.
I thought the chase scene was good. I think it was, you know, it built that intensity and that you were actually quite worried for her until dun-dun-dun.
She's just, the thing is, I love that it happens and she's just, she's at that safe point and then she turns around. And it's just there. Like, never turn around. That has to be it. Never turn around. Unless you know you're safe, never turn around. Because you're not. You're not safe. You're about to get offed hardcore. Yep. In a bad, bad way. Pretty like, in a bad way. And she's just... it's part of the beauty of this movie is that Halloween in this town is so all-encompassing that her dead body could just be plopped next to the drunks. And, you know...
And people play it off as a costume.
Yeah.
She's pissed, let's put her down.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Wander away. So, yes, we get a very, very, you know, and it's not bad, but it's very on brand, like Little Red Riding Hood, Big Bad Wolf moment where Laurie is stalked by this masked assailant. But there's a big turn come. I didn't expect this the first time I saw it. I did not expect this at all.
Yeah, I didn't see this one. I thought
this was around where I thought, like, WTF, like, what's going on now?
Well, I'll give my thoughts after the reveal because I thought something completely different.
So, yeah, the reveal is that our mask killer is taken out, basically, by this little brunette girl and thrown, literally thrown. I don't even know. Like, she must have picked him up. Thrown him into the party and unmasked as none other than Principal Steve Wilkins.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 right? Dun, dun, dun. I did not see that coming. I did definitely not see that coming. And I really didn't see the revelation that these girls are a female pack of werewolves.
Yep.
Feasting.
They were the wolves. They weren't the Red Riding Hoods.
See, I thought they were witches.
I was definitely witches or vampires.
Yep.
I thought vampires at first.
I was going with vampires. Mm.
But really,
that's what he was portraying himself as. He was like a vampire.
The special effects.
Minimal. Like, minimal CGI. Doherty hates CGI. He thinks it's tacky as hell.
This is where you see the titties.
Yeah, it's the titty time.
Titties are.
Okay, so from now on, Brooke is going to tell our audience the exact moment titties come out.
She's out titty control.
I will start taking time. Titty time. It's fine. Yes. I can have my own segment. Titty time with Brooke.
titty timestamp at whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we've all seen movies with werewolf transformations that are not that great.
No, that was really
it awesome. It is 2021, and these are still pretty good.
Oh, it holds up. 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
You know, like, it's great. And the hearing that howling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Practical effects
great.
Are so much more effective in some instances than just like giving it just like a ton of CGI just to make it look whatever. Like, I think that
it looks all right.
I love the sound effects used in this scene. Mm-hmm. When they're
very lush, very juicy.
Yeah, like it's, and they're just it's amazing.
Whoever did the Foley, great work. Tick for you guys. You guys it'd be interesting. What was the skin ripping sound effect? What was it? But the howl is heard throughout the town as you know, they feast. And obviously that's the end of Steve Wilkins. And that's the end-ish of those girls as well. Yep. So obviously he's little Billy's left to his own device. Do you know what I mean?
No. Which I think Billy will be fine.
Yeah.
And Sam wanders past again and goes, yep, cool.
He's sitting on a log just watching.
Just watching.
This is cool. This is
fine. I mean, come on. This has to be the cutest killer.
He's adorable. Right? I want to hug him. Cute.
I love to hug him. His little
You can actually buy kids' costumes of Sam. Like,
maybe that should be my daughter's costume.
Yes.
Fluffy could be Sam.
I wanted to dress Arlo up as Sam. He wouldn't go for it. He picked the Hulk.
It's very hard. I guess it's very hard to convince kids to put a sack on their head too.
He wasn't having it. I was like,
he wasn't having it.
I reckon I can convince my 12-year-old to do it, eh? I reckon I could. I reckon.
I'm relying on you Aussies to pull it out, okay?
All right, we're going to try.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Our final adventure is that, as we said, of Mr. Krieg, next-door neighbor to Steve Wilkins. He is crotchety old man, you know, archetype down to the T. And he is Katie McCarthy. We mentioned it before.
Brian Cox, sorry. Well, put that picture of him back up again because I want you all to take a good look at him.
Yeah.
Who does he remind you of?
I don't know. Who is?
Because he had a character inspiration too.
Okay. Share.
Well, it's not so much a character. His real life inspiration was John Carpenter. He wanted to be a crotchety old man.
I can see that. I can see that.
And I think he did it beautifully. And there are actually some little fun references to John Carpenter in his scene. And as you discuss it, I will let you know.
I love it. That's very good. Yeah, a crotchety old man who hates Halloween.
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter. Very much on trend at this time because it wasn't making him the money that it was making that would make him in the future.
He's
you know,
he's a grumpy old man.
He is a grumpy old man.
So it was just beautifully done.
So yeah, Krieg is not a fan of Halloween, and his night gets progressively worse. I mean, he starts with eggs, like getting egged, and then he goes outside to find. Like hundreds, it looks like. Hundreds of jack-o'-lanterns just magically appearing in his front yard. And his hallways and walls painted in what looks like blood.
This whole scene is meant to be kind of like the Halloween version of A Christmas Carol. He is going
Yes, and that feels very Ghost of Ebenezer. Christmas Present, doesn't it? Ebenezer Scrooge.
He's going through it, and there's a real big reason why the man's going through it, and I thought this was just such a so beautifully tied together.
You've got to pay attention to the details
you
in this
have
one.
To pay attention to the details.
This would be my favourite scene in the movie, is his
but
scene.
The fight, I just love the fight scene. Sam is just... Sam will not give up.
And when he takes off
that sack, he's a little pumpkin.
He's adorable.
He's a little pumpkin. No matter what. Like, I would lose a battle just because I'd be like, oh, you're so long.
My favorite thing about it is that the very first act of violence that Sam commits is to, like, cut his Achilles so he can't run away.
What is that?
Like then, the kid in Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, and then, like, I asked her, Sam's adorable, but if you pay attention to the scene, I really like the very last bit where, look, he's had the shit beat out of him, he's been stabbed, he's had all of these things happen, then he just wraps himself up, he doesn't call the cops, he doesn't do anything, he just starts handing candy out again.
He knows, like, he's in the wrong, he knows what he's done wrong, but I love, it's one of those movie sequences that, you know, how much can this person take? It's like that movie, The Shallows with Blake Lively. Did you guys see that one, the shark one?
I mean,
it's like, how bad can a person's luck get? It's like progressively worse and worse and worse. And
the way I describe that story is, how bad can the story get, and how pretty can that actress be?
Oh, she's gorgeous. That was a great movie, though. If you like a good shark,
I love her, and I hate that movie.
I only hate it because she married Ryan Reynolds.
She's actually quite a good actress. I really enjoyed that movie.
She absolutely is, and she's the only thing that saves that movie, but it's still a hot piece of garbage.
Oh no, I that was intense. I don't do sharks. I'm like, oh no.
Love sharks.
So it was not my bag. But he like landing in all the glass in his hands and like crawling, like it just gets worse and worse.
Roll it back a bit. So this was like a karmic thing for Pop, right? So what did he do wrong?
We're getting there. This isn't revealed. It's not revealed yet. It's still not revealed. Okay. We just see him getting his ass squarely handed to him.
By a 5-year-old.
I love when we think everything's all sweet and then you see a little Sam crawling across the ceiling. Without too much of a spoiler, it is very hereditary. Like, he's just like, I'm here. So we think he's going in for the killing blow there, right? And Sam holds up his little chocolate bar and has a little chomp and
walks away.
And Krieg has bandaged himself up. And we discover why he's done it now, because we see him bandage the fuck up like the worst job in the world. But
nice mommy costume, Mr. Krieg.
Exactly. Handing out candy and smile, like kind of trying to smile after getting his ass roundly kicked. And if you pay attention, in the fireplace, burning, is a photo of a young Mr. Krieg at one of his former jobs as a bus driver.
For me, it was the ring. He was wearing the same ring as the bus driver because they make that quite poignant when in the scene. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing the ring and I went, oh, he's going to fucking die. Mm-hmm. And that was cool.
And we think he gets away scot-free until, of course, there's one last little knock at the door.
Because all the pumpkins are at the front. But that's what they come for.
Yay!
I don't think they came for the pumpkins.
I think they came for Krieg.
They came for Krieg.
That's why Sam let him live. Because it wasn't his karma to hand out.
Nope.
Mm-mm. So this is where we figure out that this is all a big circle. This has been a big, big circle. Because we see Rhonda with her cart walking back. We see,
and she nearly gets hit by the car full of the werewolf girls.
Containing the werewolf girls who have just eaten. We do see Charlie. Yeah, fat little Charlie as well, walking along. All of this has happened in one magical night of Halloween in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Sam sees them blow the jack-o'-lantern out across the street, and he's like, ha, ha, ha,
ha. And there we go. Poor Leslie Bibb, you know, gets it, and we're back at the start again. And that is Trick or Treat. And let's talk about it, because as we said, it was delayed for 2 years, really.
Mm-hmm. I've got.
I can't believe. A few Katie extra, McCarthy, you go for it.
I'll say I've got a few extra fun facts. If you'll notice, any of the candy in the movie, there are no recognizable candy wrappers because, you know, candy companies don't want to be associated with a violent movie. Whatever, they're a loss, honestly. During the fight scene between Krieg and Sam gets his hand cut off, and Sam keeps coming back, and you can hear Krieg say, "Gotta be fucking kidding me." And if you are a horror fan, you'll know that that is from a John Carpenter movie, and that is The Thing, which is spectacular. And the reporter that was reporting on the party downtown kind of gives you a foreshadowing of the whole night when she says, a night full of werewolves, zombies, and demons. Sound familiar?
Yeah. I know, right?
And those are the rest of my fun facts.
Now,
I have one fun fact. So this is actually the second film that Sam appears in. So he was originally seen in a short movie in 1996 done by Doherty called Season's Greetings. So this is his second film, not his first.
Season's Greetings is available for you to watch on YouTube. It's a very cute little moment.
It's cute little, yeah.
Mm. It would have actually sat really well with these stories. You go look it up.
Oh.
For a movie that wasn't, you know, overly successful, the Rotten Tomatoes rating is really, really high. It's 83%. People love this movie. There has been, you know, rumors for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, that there would be a sequel coming. But there was a change at Legendary Pictures, so the sequel movie kind of never happened. But there are comic books. So there are Trick or Treat comic books if you, you know, get your Sam vibe happening and want to know a little bit more. I think one of them is a prequel and then some of them are spin-offs. So if you want to know a little bit more about Sam. But this is this is what they were trying to do with that Halloween 3 vibe, is like spin things out and different things happening on Halloween night,
mm-hmm.
blah, 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 blah. Done so, so well, like mm-hmm. so well. It's a pity that it never took off, because this could be something that came out every year and people would be like, and you don't need the same cast returning all the time. It'd be very much that American Horror Story vibe of, you know, different stories, different casts. I think it's a pity. I think it's a pity that it never happened, but you never know what's happening in the future. Like, he's still a very popular character. Like, there are so many collectible things with Sam on them. So he makes the money. It's just there's no active development in the film, which is
quickly
sad,
going right? around the room, guys. Would you give Trick or Treat a trick or a treat?
Treat.
You go, Brooke. Brooke, you're the newest one. What your final thoughts on Trick or Treat? Go.
Oh, look, quite honestly, it was the first time I'd seen it when I was found out that we were doing this, and I genuinely loved it. I thought it was great. I don't understand why it didn't.
It was a trip, hey?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, how did I not see this?
And this is, like, even so – I watched it a few times, just to be honest, because the first time I kind of went, wow, I'm on shrooms. But when it all ties together and you pay attention to the little details on it, like, you know, the bus driver's ring, the, you know, the jack-o'-lantern story, and it actually ties a lot of the traditions of Halloween to, like, the modern opinions of Halloween as well. So I really loved it. I thought it was great.
So that's a thumbs up from Brooke.
Definite thumbs up from Brooke.
Okay, Katie McCarthy.
Oh, super treat. Required holiday viewing for this spooky season. And fun Katie McCarthy fact, my next tattoo is going to be Sam's pumpkin lollipop. Because
cute. With a bite out of it?
Yep. I love this movie so much. It's one of my favorites, and I just want to celebrate Halloween year round with a Halloween tattoo.
I definitely think it should be one of those things that is seasonal viewing. You know, like there are certain movies that you always watch at Halloween. For me, I always watch this. I always watch Hocus Pocus. I always watch some variation of the Halloween movie, like Halloween, the series, mm-hmm. Michael Myers series. I always watch some timeline that I decide whichever one I'm going to watch that year. Mm-hmm. But Luke, you were a newcomer as well. What did you think?
It was a complete trip. Like I'm same as Brooke. Like the first time I watched it, I was like, fuck, like what happened to me? Like, did my head go crazy? So I had to go back. I watched it a second time so I could really digest a lot of the little details. And yeah, it's a nicely tied together anthology story. I think it is a great film. I can't believe that I missed it when it came out because, like, it's exactly what it is. Like, it's a great film of that era. And I don't know how I'd skip past that because I'd say it's right up there with even the Scream films and Halloween.
I think it came out at a really interesting time because I remember I saw this because I went to a video store. Uh-huh. And it was 2007. It was kind of the beginning of the end of all, that whole, you know, tradition of going to a video store.
Sookie.
Well, this was before Sookie. I saw it when it came out. I saw it when it was a new release. And it kind of occupies that really specific era in the late early 2000s, for want of a better expression, where we didn't know where we were heading. This was before, you know, before the Blumhouse stuff had taken control and we were all Conjuring and Dolls and all that kind of stuff. We just survived through, you know, Japanese remakes and found footage films.
By the Field of Lies.
It's very classic, but it's very of its time as well. As we were saying, it calls back those TV shows like Tales from the Crypt, Freak Show, Campfire Tales.
Otherwise.
Like, very much Campfire Tales. You know what I mean? It took me a hot minute to get there. But
the
I
one
really,
with Marcia Brady.
I loved it.
Marcia.
And more recently, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. If you haven't seen that movie, a lot of people slept on that movie. Haven't seen Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, it is brilliant.
It's so good.
If you like this, you'll like that one because it's very
much
the same.
Okay, so I've got to do it.
So we all say yes. We all say yes to this, don't we?
We all treat it.
Definitely.
Yes, it is a treat. It's a very big treat. But very important for you to know, we've given you a treat. There is a trick coming your way very soon.
Good there.
And we had the very, 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 very good fortune to sit down with Mr. Todd Farmer to discuss his 2019 film, Trick. Yeah. That will be coming up very soon. There's some little hot goss in there, a little bit of inside baseball about a certain franchise with a man in a mask that, you know, if you don't know, the development hell that happens with the Halloween franchise.
And Steve,
Todd is spilling tea.
We got Todd to get naked too.
I was gonna say, listen, kids.
Or did we?
If you like industry gossip, if you like scary movies, if you like watching awkward people just spit game at someone mercilessly.
I was going to say, if you like to watch Katie flirt mercilessly with a man,
Katie must have been exhausted by the end of that. Just throwing game.
I mean, I tried so hard, y'all. I mean,
she needed absorbent wipes for her seat.
I've made it no secret how much I love this man, and he doesn't disappoint with this interview.
She's a gusher.
He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't disappoint anyone. Like Todd will be anyone's. I think Todd will be anyone's. So
he is mine. I've claimed him.
a fantastic discussion about another movie that just did not get enough attention. So if you haven't seen 2019's Trick, make sure you watch that one as well. We also, because we cannot stop giving you the Halloween content, guys, we're gonna do it. We're gonna tackle Halloween 2018, and Halloween Kills is upon us. Halloween Kills is, let's have a look. What's that? 7.
Oh.
Oh, like just under 3 weeks away till Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers are back on screen together. So
what's
you've
the
got
name of that real housewife in that one?
Kyle Richards.
Oh, Kyle Richards.
The legendary Miss, Kyle Richards returning.
Yeah,
but she's a gusher too.
She's amazing.
I don't think she knows how to self lubricate.
The latest, latest trailer for Halloween Kills looks stunning. So if you are a fan of the dramas of Haddonfield, check that out as well. Is anyone watching anything at the moment that's a little bit creepy? I know that Katie McCarthy and I have jumped headfirst into Mike Flanagan's new TV show on Netflix, Midnight Mass.
I cannot
say enough about Midnight Mass. He is hitting it out of the park again. Mike Flanagan is what Ryan Murphy wishes he could be with American Horror Story.
Yep.
If you're an adult and you like an adult horror movie or horror series, do not sleep on Midnight Mass. Do not sleep on The Haunting of Bly Manor or The Haunting of Hill House. They are beautiful. They are beautiful, beautiful horror movies that do so much more than just deal with horror. They deal with the human experience and the human condition. And I can't say enough good stuff. I'm midway through the 5th episode of Midnight Mass. It's a long show. Every episode is 1 hour and 5 minutes. It's a lot of information to take in, but it is so brilliantly done. Katie McCarthy, you're finished, aren't you?
No, I'm way behind. I've got kids. It's hard to get into this. I'm also finishing up the 4th season of Slasher on Shudder. And this one it's fantastic. If you liked Knives Out, this season is like Knives Out on steroids. It's so good. And all their seasons are really good. The first 3 are on Netflix. Season 4 is on Shudder. And if you don't have a Shudder subscription yet, you're sleeping on that, big mistake.
Look,
I just wanted to add.
Huge.
If you are a gusher, message the show because Katie will give you advice.
I don't know what advice you would have. But anyway, Brooke, are you watching anything creepy besides Luke talking about that kind of stuff?
Bad. That was bad joke.
That's the scariest thing.
Bad.
Oh, look, at the moment, I've actually gone back to early 90s slasher. I'm just watching anything I can get at the moment. I just got Foxtel. Yes, I am that old school. I'm old, guys. I'm old. But, you know, I'm just going through anything that looks fancy. I don't know. I'm just picking a movie, really. So,
well, Netflix will deliver awesome. As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm still listening to Grady's book, The Final Girl, and
yes, Grady Hendrix. Yeah, if you didn't watch our interview with Grady Hendrix,
narrated by Adrian King, and so my daughter asked me yesterday, "Dad, what's a final girl?" Because she's been listening to. I don't think it's appropriate.
I think you should stop before it gets to the end because it gets a bit intense. But Netflix have really delivered, guys. If you have ever watched their series, The Movies That Made Us, which goes behind the scenes of the development of really fantastic cultural, you know, iconic movies, they've just dropped a whole heap of Halloween content. So it goes behind the scenes of slashers. So if that's your kind of bag, jump on that. There's another movie called Night Teeth that's just that is coming out as well. Chucky is hitting sci-fi soon. What else is coming out? Halloween, I Know What We Did Last Summer, the TV series is going on Amazon Prime. Halloween Kills is hitting cinemas. There is so much creepy stuff happening. So let us know what you're watching as well.
And for the family-friendly Halloween fun, if you've got a Disney Plus subscription, they have a whole Halloween section. So you can watch Hocus Pocus, Haunted Mansion, Toy Story 4.
Are we excited about the Muppets Haunted Mansion that is coming?
That's on there too.
And Hocus
My Hocus kids Hocus were like,
Hocus Pocus 2 is not till next year. Next year. Yeah.
We were
another
watching
glorious morning.
Well, next Christmas are the guy, are they?
They're filming now. There's been a lot in the media about them, you know, purchasing antiques and da 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 da. So Hocus, I'm sure we're going to get some. I think we'll get a bit of a teaser
sometime soon.
I can smell it in the air. I think we're going to get a teaser trailer for Scream with Halloween.
Ooh, probably.
When else would you do it? When else would you do it?
Well, they could also do it for the theatrical run of the 25th anniversary of Scream.
25th anniversary of Scream, y'all. We are old.
I think I've almost got Vera convinced to go see it with me. Almost.
We are going to tackle Scream, but we're going to tackle Scream towards the end of the year. Halloween is full up at the moment. Now, before we leave, we do need your help this Halloween because we like to bring the scary, but we know you guys have got your own scary stories. So if you do have your own scary stories, we want to hear them. So if you've ever had anything creepy or weird happen to you, a friend or family member, we want you to share your story, whether it be video, audio, or email, for a chance to win a little creepy treat courtesy of UCR and the lovely ladies Anne and Renata. So submissions are going to close October 27th in the US, October 28th in Australia, and you just need to send it to myuncensoredradio@gmail.com. Now, please jump on this. We want to make sure that everyone has a really cool and spooky little, you know, spooky little Halloween. It's been a tough 18 months, and now it's time to have fun. Halloween gives you permission to have fun, scare yourself a little bit, and, you know, let the ghouls and the ghosties out. So we really want to hear your stories. We have some UCR cast stories, too, that are going to air and, you know, scare the patoots off us. Vera has some great ghost stories. If you weren't watching us last year around this time, I think it was around October, Vera and Jeff and I spent Halloween together and it was a great little episode. But we really want you to get involved. We've got some cute little treats for you. You might even get a little exclusive uncensored horror merchandise as a prize. Ooh. You never, never know. So thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, welcome Brooke to the crew. She's going to be joining us on Uncensored Horror from now on. Yeah. Always lovely Miss Katie McCarthy is here with her skeleton strong hand. And of course, Luke talking about female eruptions, which is very disturbing as is. We will see you next week, y'all, for Todd Farmer, an exclusive interview about his film Trick. But until then, keep it creepy.
Bye. Bye.